Hey everyone, this is Semler and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Let's see if I remember how to do this open. Episode 75, coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. I don't want to get this hyped up because we took a week off, but this might be the best episode ever. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. Hit us up on all the social medias. Anything you can do to make sure the show lives into perpetuity. I'll be one of your hosts. My name is Tim. Alongside me, though, my brown brother, Anuj. Hello, sir.
Hey, bud. How are you? You almost nailed that intro. You know that? You just forgot the date and the time. That's it.
That always comes in and out. I don't know why.
Time is always in.
The date is September 20th, 2017. The time, 6:18 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Nailed it.
And then through us, through the power of the internet, we have Brett.
The hamster is still alive under my internet. We're good.
We'll see how that goes.
How's it going?
Considering the laptop that I put you through sounds like it's about to explode. We'll see how long it goes.
Speaking of the power of the internet, man, what happened?
Yeah, so that's why we did not record last week. If you don't know, which you would if you followed us on Twitter, we took a week off because my internet decided to take a week off. Just neighbor was laying down sod and apparently decided to cut the wire and not tell me about it.
That's so exciting.
That's
I've
nice.
I've heard of thinking it was maybe like a rival esports show.
Yeah, it was
sabotaging.
It was Hector from Optic Gaming decided to cut our internet. No, yeah. So I lived three grueling days. With
that's
no
rough,
internet.
Man. 3 days.
It's really long, especially like everything is ran through the internet now. Like I don't have cable or anything.
Unlimited
I think
data
t-shirts for that. Like I survived.
No, I don't have unlimited. I need something for it, but it is back up. So this show will be posted in all its glory. We do have e-news like normal, ending the show with all the news that you need to know. We have a lot of drama going on in Brazilian Counter-Strike, so we will definitely talk about Immortals, everything going on with that roster, starting from about a week, 2 weeks ago now with DreamHack Montreal. We didn't get a chance to talk about the tournament, which 2 weeks later, not really going to, but boy, this Immortals news is just keep coming out. So we'll talk about that. And starting off the show, though, let's get into a tournament that was more recent.
And relevant.
And relevant. And it's one of the premier tournaments, ESL One New York 2017, just wrapped up last weekend. Some top teams in there. Let's just run through the standings, shall we? As we do, from bottom to top, Furnace Pro
tied for last.
Yeah, we'll say we'll say that they were tied. I'm sure that's what they're saying too. Like, no, we were tied. We were tied for
leadership
last.
Changed now. But it's finally
gotten to the point where that happens, and we're not even surprised anymore, right?
No, they were terrible. Like,
yeah.
Is Pasha being the new IGL the cure?
Is that I know
Snacks
is no longer the IGL for Virtus Pro, longtime IGL, and now I guess it's Pasha the new one.
Yeah.
You know, I know you said it, Anuj, prior to the show that that's not really gonna make much of a difference just because they've been together for so long.
Everybody probably already has a voice at this point. So now maybe it's just like a change at the top, but I don't know. You're going to get the same type of play style. They only play one way and it's the same five players. So I don't see how you get different results at the end of the day. Maybe. We'll see. I hope they prove me wrong.
I've never been one to look at Pasha as like a mad strategist.
Like a mad fragger.
I've never thought, gee, you know who I'd want to IGL my team? Pasha. Considering Snacks was always that guy, right? Snacks was always the one who had the crazy strategies and, you know, all the unique things that basically got Virtus Pro to be where they were. So, I don't know. We've said it before. I really don't want to talk about it again because nothing's new.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing every time. Yeah. It's Virtus Pro underperforming. Team Envious, again, they were tied for last. That's a roller coaster of a team.
Yeah, they have some really good outings, and then they just haven't shown up in the big events, unfortunately. But, you know, they also had to play SK in the first match. That doesn't really help. And then you go to, you know, against Na'Vi. That's again, another really tough matchup for them. So,
in fifth and sixth, speaking of Na'Vi, you do have Na'Vi and Astralis. They tied for fifth and sixth. Getting into the top four, though, this is where the juice is. This is where it matters. Because let's face it, when you don't make it to out of groups at these small eight-team tournaments, there's a lot that happens, right? So you have teams like Virtus Pro, where they don't make it out of groups, but their recent history tells you that, yeah, they didn't make it out because they were bad, right? But then you have teams like Astralis, who didn't make it out of groups. They went 1-2 with a minus 11 round differential. So maybe you would say, well, they're played poorly as well. Or, I mean, only two teams can make it out of groups, right? And they were in the more difficult group with FaZe and Team Liquid. So it's kind of
I don't think people still see them, you know, Liquid's not seen at the same level though, right? Like losing to FaZe wasn't a big deal, nor was it a big surprise. You know, they're all very good players and it, you know, it can happen, right? It's Counter-Strike. Losing to Liquid, I think the fact that it was a best of three that they lost in, I mean, that says a lot for Liquid and their growth, obviously, but for Astralis, that's like a huge disappointment to them. I don't feel like they were ever thought going into that match like, oh, you know, this is our exit strategy, basically, you know. So that was the bigger surprise, is Liquid's performance over the last two tournaments, Mykonos making it to the finals, and now here, again, making it to the finals. They're showing what kind of growth they've accomplished, and they're the team to beat in NA.
Are they, though?
Yeah.
No, by far.
I feel like they're hot and cold, though. It's like you feel like they're turning that corner, and then they have like a couple of tournaments where they're stinkers, and then they have, you know, a couple of, you know, good tournaments in a row. They're just inconsistent. But I feel like such as the life as an NA team.
I was about to say the same exact thing. I was like, are you describing Cloud9 or Liquid right now? Because that seems like,
but
it's all
Liquid's
of them.
Wins are much bigger than Cloud9's wins over the past 2 years. I mean, going all
this
the way back
true.
To majors last year, I don't care if Simple was on the team.
I mean, starting like, from the MLG major in Columbus.
I mean,
when they win,
they win big.
They win big.
But
it's in tournaments
it's
that matter.
It's who they beat too, right? Like, so Cloud9 advances, and I feel like they always find a way to get into one of those eliminator matches, and then they advance through that way. It's not beating an SK. It's not beating an Astralis. Even beating a VP.
Yeah.
You know, notoriously, Cloud9 has been terrible against VP, even in VP's current form. SK or Liquid, you know, they beat the big boys.
It's a cop-out, though, to also say that Cloud9 can't get away from SK.
You have to play them.
Right.
Right? And you find ways to win. And if you play a team that many times, numbers or even luck should be on your side at some point to where you beat them. But it's like such a mental block playing SK. It's like they give up before the matches even start almost. But yeah, Liquid finds a way to get, you know, they be good teams and they play very well, and the right players consistently step up. Alish consistently steps up in the biggest matches for them. And Twist, I think the more confidence he gains playing, you know, playing in tournaments this size and playing in big lands is going to do wonders for them.
Future superstar.
It really is. I mean, superstar now. Yeah. You know, I think he has the talent to be elite, you know, is where he needs to get to.
I remember I was actually, while watching ESL New York, I was thinking back to ESL Dallas from when we talked to Twist and asking, you know, because I think by then that was his like first or second tournament, maybe his first one, like on where they made it to the stage.
Yep.
And I remember one of the questions we asked him, like, you know, could you get used to this? How did it feel to be the, you know, first time on the stage and NA fans cheering you? And he said, like, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Like, it's an awesome feeling.
Even back from when was that, like May or June to now, like how much has changed, right?
Yeah, how much that team has grown. You know, the team is totally different team than they were then with the same, you know, same lineup there. Yeah, they're taking like the right steps. It's good to see one of these teams kind of stick together a little bit also and try to push past those difficult points, because they really ran into some, whether you thought Nitro was a long-term option on that team, Stanislav with his ups and downs.
I mean, even a month ago during the August break, they were front and center in almost any article you read about being Alicia's a roster
gone.
Move.
Alicia's gone. Yes. You know, like, that's all we heard for so long. Alicia to Optic, Alicia to Cloud9, like, whatever, you know. And they've stuck together, and they've performed well, and they're consistent on the big stage. They need to find a way to be consistent, like, on these online tournaments or more like the casual tournaments that we do see or league play. But in these, like, majors or invites, I mean, they do so good.
And then getting to the top two. Well, okay, and then SK got third and fourth with Cloud9, right?
Cloud9 losing to FaZe 2-0.
Cloud9 lost to FaZe. SK lost to Liquid, obviously. I mean, Cloud9, they actually had a really good tournament apart from getting swept by FaZe, which by the end, at the moment, it was kind of defeating, right? To think like, damn, you just got swept in the semis. But with the way FaZe carried themselves through, FaZe ended up taking ESL New York handedly. Like,
yeah. I have the score lines here. I mean, it's like, you know, from the beginning, you know, 16-3, 16-3, 16-4, 16-4, 16-5, 16-6, and then they had that close game at the end. So it's
16-14.
Yeah, 16-14. I mean, they were just murdering dudes. I mean,
they didn't drop a single map the whole time. I mean, like you said, look at the finals against Team Liquid, 16-3, 16-14, 16-4, and that's the finals. That's a grand final.
I gotta ask this though, like, are y'all on the hype train of how much value, actually, you know, let me reword this question. How much value do you put into this tournament looking at FaZe's performance and then putting it in the grand scheme of things, right? Like, was this considered one of the best tournament runs? You're seeing a lot of that. You're seeing a lot of, like, greatest, maybe not greatest team ever, but, like, oh my gosh, we're on the verge of something really special here.
So there's multiple things to that. Let me make this one point, Brett, and I'll let you have the floor. Because I want to just address one thing where you mentioned, is this like the greatest tournament run you ever saw, right? Instantly, I disqualify that in an 8-team tournament. 100%. Like, this is nothing. Like, come talk to me at a major when it's, you know, 16 teams or there's an actual climb to happen.
Yeah.
This is not, when you make playoffs and it's instantly semifinals, finals, like, there's no climb. There's nothing. So that was the one thing that stood out to your question there. Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm with you, Tim. That was the point I was going to make with being an 18 tournament. You can't really put, I guess, a whole lot of stock into that. But the way they played, in a LAN, you can put stock into that. Like, they all have positive KDs in that finals map. You know, what a lot of people at one point said was the best player in the world, and Olaf was their worst player. But he had, like, a positive, 19 or something like that?
Yeah, right. Saying any KD of them were a worst player.
Yeah, but, you know, they're still young, you know, much like Cloud9. You know, that roster is still kind of, you know, trying to get used to each other. So, I mean, you can take a little bit from this, but like you said, being an 8-team tournament, you know, I want to see them do it in a, you know, 16-team tournament or a major, you know, see if, you know, they can perform well there. But, I mean, you see what they can become. I think they're going to be really good.
I think they're going to be...
I mean, competing with Astralis, SK, legit, like, competing with those teams, so...
I think they're going to be really good, too, but the 8-team tournament bothers me, but not as much as, like, the competition in the 8-team tournament. If you told me we're having an 8-team tournament and it's the top 8 teams in the world, or the top, you know, teams that are performing at least the best at that point, I'll put a lot more stock into it, right? And then maybe they're all best of threes at the same time. In this, look at who they ran across. You know, their first match, best of one, they beat VP. Big surprise there, right? Then in the winner's match, you know, to advance to the semis, they beat Astralis. But that was good, but again, it was a best of one. I think that's doesn't hold a lot of weight in Counter-Strike. Anybody can win a best of one.
It's something to bring up, just like you're doing, right?
Yeah, like they should... If it's a smaller tournament, maybe make those best of threes to make them a little bit more exciting and challenging. Mm-hmm. They beat Cloud9, who, again, a little bit of a roller coaster with the new team right now. They have to get things going. And then they didn't get SK in the finals. So I felt like their run through this was like the easiest possible run you really could have had. You know, it was a kind of a cakewalk getting into the finals. So that's where I lose most of its value. Do I think they'll be really good? Yes, they're going to be really good, right? But I'm not handing them the greatest Dynasty of all time trophy right now.
You can kind of look at this like a preseason, right? Like they're coming off that long break. You know, teams are just getting back into the swing of things. So they're maybe catching some teams that, you know, aren't at their full form. So, yeah, I mean, let's see what they do in the next couple of lands, you know, then, you know, we can reserve our opinions then. But I mean, you can look at the roster.
Needs to find their form a little bit right now. Astralis seems a little off to me, and they've been a little off now for a number of tournaments.
I mean, realistically, since they won the major, right?
Yeah, they just haven't been dominant, right? Like they've, you know, made playoffs a few times, but they've also had earlier exits. They need to find a way to have everyone performing at the same time. That's the only way that I feel they're really strong, is when everyone's playing at a high level. You need Zipniks making those clutches. You need Dupree and his consistency. Device has to be an all-star in these matches. And KRB needs to kind of grow a little bit more, right? Like, he started off really hot when he joined the team, but I think he's kind of flatlined out. And so they, you know, I could see them being a much bigger cause for concern than any of the other top three teams in the world right now.
And going back to FaZe, my opinion with FaZe right now is, like how we said, are they going to be good? Yeah, I feel like we need to all put that disclaimer
it's
on
safe
our opinion,
to say,
right?
We all know that
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But right now, the sample size you have since they added the roster is two. They have been in two tournaments since the roster. ESL New York, which they won first, and then DreamHack Master Malmo, where they got 9th through 12th, right? So pick one, 12th place. So you have completely two samples, completely opposite end of the spectrum. If you're looking at both of those, which they were both LAN events, right?
That had harder competition in Malmo.
So where are people getting the opinion of
superstar team?
Superstar team, this is going to be a dynasty in the making, where we've seen in recent CSGO how difficult it is to have a dynasty.
To even get back-to-back majors. Like, Dynasty, I feel like most people consider Dynasty like 3 out of 4, right? Mm-hmm. Like, getting 3 out of 4 in some sense, in my opinion, makes you a Dynasty. Whether that's 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, 3 NBA championships in 4 years, that gives you Dynasty form, right? Not even like back-to-back. Back-to-back to me is great, and you're an upper echelon team, and you'll be remembered for a long time for it, but this team needs time. Do they have the potential to be a dynasty? Sure. Like, the names, yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's
like,
looking at the roster, of course you would say that.
But it's so early, and people need to kind of just pump those brakes a little bit.
It's also hard to do in today's Counter-Strike, too, because I've gone back to this several times, but there's so much parity. Like, there's just not a huge separation from the top, you know, to the, you know, fourth best team. So,
and I also think there's this weird, I get this sense, I have this feeling that between the players, not so much the owners of the organizations or anything, but the players who kind of run the show realistically, have this drive to try to just over tweak rosters, trying to find that perfect fit for them, right? The trigger to pull to make a roster move seems a lot faster now than ever before. Maybe it's with all these super teams, quote unquote, showing up with, you know,
it's
Na'Vi,
like hockey coaches,
or
man. You're seeing changes being made real quick.
Yeah, with FaZe creating a super team, you had the French super teams, Gambit winning a major, and then all of a sudden it's switching up their rosters. It's like, no one can just...
Contracts don't mean a whole lot in esports right now. And until that kind of happens, it's too easy for somebody to demand a trade, and all of a sudden they're gone. You don't see that in normal sports. Now, when people demand trades, do they sometimes get them? Yes, but is everybody happy in those situations or get their wish all the time? Like, definitely not. In esports, you have a lot of power as a player.
And we will see that firsthand coming up with Immortals, because this was not this weekend, but last weekend, where we didn't get to do a show, which actually turned out okay. So thank you, Immortals, for keeping that news alive.
Yep.
Because we were going to talk about the drama at DreamHack Montreal, where KNG... well, let me back it up, because that's not even the start of it. It started at DreamHack Montreal, where Immortals were showing up late to matches. It started with CLG, and then went all the way to the finals against North, where they were so late, where DreamHack ended up having forcing them to forfeit a match or awarding the
they
first
forfeited
map
the first
to,
map on
to
the first map. Yeah.
Yeah. So however you want to word it. And it really from there I don't think that's where the fire started, but where you saw smoke is when Ryu ended up tweeting out the coach of CLG saying why they were late. He said that they were late because they were out partying the night before and half the roster was hungover and the only guys that showed up were Steel and Bolts. And that right there, I mean...
set the stage, for sure.
Everything blew up from there. Twitter blew up. Reddit blew up. Things got escalated.
It blew up, but it wasn't... it started to catch traction. It blew up after FNS's tweet. And
well,
the reaction,
this is
right?
This is where enter left stage KNG.
Yeah.
Before it was Immortals was late, right?
Now we're taking you to center stage. This is like the big news.
Yeah. So we had the story, which was Immortals being late, and then KNG was like, "Hold my beer, like I got a better I got better news because I'm going to tell FNS that I'm going to kill him on
Prove
Twitter.
Prove it, or I will kill you.
Prove it, or I will kill you." Because that FNS made a tweet saying, like, you mean to tell us we lost to people that were hungover?
And Lucas, go ahead.
I was trapped. And Tim, I messaged you about this, you know, the night that it happened. I was trapped on Twitter for like 3 hours. Just like, I can't stop watching this. It's just like constant back and forth. And just, it felt like even the scene was like 70-30 of... 70 in favor of like, dude, what are you doing? And 30% like, it's not a big deal. Why are we even talking about this? So, I mean, it matters to people.
And
it was just fun.
So when you say that, though, it's not a big deal. It being he said that he was going to kill him or the fact that they were like.
It's saying that, you know, saying they were going to kill him. And there was a part, you know, of the community that was on their, you know, bandwagon of like, why is DreamHack, you know, forcing him to forfeit? Like, why are they forcing him to forfeit a map? So there was a contingency there, but the overwhelming majority was like, guys,
the issue there. And so let's, before we get there, we're all on the same page that there are some reasons you can be late to a match. Decay tweeted out saying, doesn't matter, no excuse. And I even said, like, I was like, so you're telling me the reason doesn't matter? Like, you don't care about the reason? Because to me, it's like, there are certain things in life. Like, you can't just do the slippery slope or the blanket statement saying, nope, doesn't matter, you need to show up for your match. I feel like if it was a good enough reason, DreamHack would have been like, hey, we'll give you an hour.
Really, the only reasons, as somebody who's
death
been
in family.
Sports before, like, the only reason... you have an excuse to like be late enough to a game where it's like becoming an issue, right?
Right.
Is like you said, a death, some sort of accident, whether that's on your way to the game or something that's going to like take some medical attention.
The diarrhea.
You better just poop your pants. Like you better find a way to get out.
I respect
there.
The diarrhea.
You know, but
you don't test diarrhea.
There's not many things. No, I agree that there's like the reason matters.
Diarrhea.
But it only matters if it's like the right reason, right? Like,
yes, very few and far between. It's all situational, and I get that. My point is, people were painting out DreamHack to be heartless monsters. No, I don't think that's
the
case.
No, they came out and made a statement.
Yeah,
like,
they said,
you know, they
like,
said
hey,
what
no,
it was.
This is what it was. Now, where Immortals was saying, no, we were not out partying. Okay, Believe what you will on that. Steele even said in an interview with Richard Lewis at E-League, Richard straight up said, like, hey, were they out partying? Do you know? And he kind of, I wish I pulled the audio, because Steele basically kind of did a sidestep and was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And in short, he said, I don't know. Which...
You're not practicing, obviously, if your IGL's not there.
We've been at events. Yeah. Okay? We have been to DreamHack, ESL Dallas. We've been to many events in our lifetime. There is no way you don't know where your teammates are at. None.
You're in
these teams side-by-side rooms. Follow each other the entire weekend. Like, you don't split up. One guy doesn't go and do one thing. You're constantly aware where each other are at.
Half of it is because they're also in a new place most of the time too, right? So forget the fact that maybe they're not seeing somebody else. Like, you're in a new place, probably haven't been there before. New York, you're going to be out with your team, whether it's team dinner or practice. Like, you know, it wasn't practice because if Steele doesn't know where you're at and he's the IGL.
Normally at the venue for 12 plus hours anyways.
You're doing what Envious does. You sit in the pool for 14 hours and shrivel up. Yeah. Like, that's what's happening over there.
And my thing is, like, if this was any other sport, like baseball, and a guy that's going to start in, you know, game 7 of a World Series goes out and parties the night before and shows up late to practice, we're going to, no pun intended, kill that guy, right? But because it's esports, I feel like he's got a little bit of a, I mean, he's getting killed, but I feel like he's getting a little bit of a pass. Like,
Not after today. Yeah, so to fast forward to the news that broke today, I would say just probably around 2 in the afternoon or so, maybe even earlier. The owner of Immortals...
Noah Winston.
He was actually quite vocal. I will give him that. He was very vocal on Twitter. In fact, right when it happened, he kind of made a statement... where is it?
He's apologizing. He apologizes to the Immortals fans... You know, we'll address this internally. Actions should have consequences. Thanks for enforcing the rules, DreamHack. So, again, that's also just another sign showing that they know what they were doing.
Yes.
Okay, like, again, if there was some issue that they were late, that the owner doesn't side with the players, like, something is not adding up there.
And then there's so many stages to set in this. Last night, Immortals was playing CLG... for the qualifier for the Epicenter. So, or Epic Enter, whichever way you want to read it. And we were there. We were kind of watching it, or we were on the computer, and we were like, dang, what is taking Immortals so long? Like, and it's very obvious.
KNG's
not in the server. You see it right there. And so instantly, you know, red flag. Okay, why isn't KNG there? After all this drama, KNG's not there. And then he shows up and they play the match. Well, later that night or early this morning, Noah, the owner of Immortals, tweeted saying KNG was not supposed to be playing. Like, he was suspended internally. He was not supposed to be playing.
And Kogu had a match with his other team that he was on.
So it was conflict and everything there. So they just, the guys, the team, went to KNG and said, hey, we need you. We got to play this game. And then from there, long story short, KNG's off Immortals. He got kicked off the team. Noah Winston ended up tweeting out saying, the right to represent Immortals must be earned, not given away for free. Players who don't uphold our standards lose that right. Like, strong statements there from the owner of Immortals and Noah. And you know what? I don't blame them. If I was an owner of an organization and I had players doing that, I would get rubbed the wrong way. And this is my take on it. Okay. It's not the fact that he tweeted saying, prove it or I'll kill you. All right. Yes. Probably not the smartest idea.
Well, they also said that he went around looking for him and had to be like held back in this, right?
So he's a hothead.
Like,
yeah. KNG's a hothead. No doubt about it. The dude's
that Brazilian fire.
Yes, right. We don't even have to go there with the Brazilians.
No, we'll stop there.
But yes. But in my opinion, it wasn't that listen, in gaming, competitive gaming especially, we give and get a lot of passes for things we say. We have all said things that would make our mothers ashamed of us. Like, no question about it. I have told children horrible things. And I'm not proud of it, but hey.
If you ever played PUBG, you would think PewDiePie was a normal person.
It's just a prank, bro. All right, it's just a game. All right, get over it. But exactly, like, look at PewDiePie, right? He's recently in a stream said the N-word, and basically community split down the middle saying...
Like, granted, now, just so you all know, we never use that word when we play. Whether that's because people don't have the balls to say it or the fact that we have, like, two black friends with us at all times. It's never used.
I have tons of black friends, but, so I could say it if I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm allowed to, obviously. But if you go into that game, you hear that word about 100 times before you even get on the damn plane.
In any game, you hear a lot. Does it make anything that we say excusable? No. Does it make it right? No. But it's the scene.
Difference is these people that are saying whatever we're talking about here, whether it's the N-word or other things, they don't have a face to the name.
Yes. They're not in a public eye.
Has a huge name.
But to wrap up my very long point of, it's not what he said, it's how he handled it.
Yeah.
I think, looking back, it's not what he said. It was on Twitter. That's never good because you just don't know how people are saying something through text, let alone he's Brazilian, who they kind of have a reputation for being, you know, murdery. And he's got a hot head. So nothing looks right, but it's the way he handled it.
If
he would have just came out and said, hey, sorry, go find FNS, take a picture, you guys... hug it out. You could hate each other. Who cares?
FNS is cool that way, too. Like, I don't know FNS personally, but we're both Indian, so I know him, right? And so he at least comes across on Twitter and his social platforms as, like, a pretty friendly, you know, he does his Peaker's Advantage and all that stuff. He just comes across as, like, a friendly person, you know? I think you would have gotten some mercy there. And he also felt bad for what he said. He apologized. He's like, sorry, I was making a joke. Like, I don't know if they were out drinking. I was really just saying that because that's what people have been saying. So I apologize.
Immortals even came out and said, hey, guys, can we stop flaming FNS? And FNS is like, no. Tweeted back at Immortals like, no, I deserve it.
But see, that's the thing, though. He doesn't. I mean, if anything, he was making more fun of their team. He was making more fun of CLG for being so bad that they lost to guys who were hungover. Like, I really don't feel like any... And it's all how KNG handled it. It's the fact that he basically went on Twitter again and said...
He went on a long rant.
Yeah, like, I don't even know, Brett, these show
notes... He just bitched and complained the whole time.
He goes, I'll stop talking since everyone loves to crucify. I just have one thing to say. We are late, but I was at the server on the original scheduled time.
Which, so you know what he's talking about there. They informed all the players and the teams, obviously, that they moved the times up because some of the matches ended earlier, they could get the game in at a more reasonable hour, so everybody was given notice. He's saying he was there at the original scheduled time and didn't know that it changed, but all your team is there. Like, what's your excuse?
Right.
Like, you're running late. And
throughout all these tweets, you know, he's saying, hey, we made a mistake. I'm sorry. Okay? Apologizing for being late. And it's like, all right, KNG, that's what we all needed.
Yep.
But wait, there's more. He tweets towards FNS, You're a ish for wanting to show up with lies. I really do have you. Garbage and liar, you owe us respect.
And that's how you earn it. That's how you earn respect right there, is by saying those things, threatening to kill somebody. Like, it's...
Like, dude, you had a chance right there to just say apologize. It was taken out of context. It was blown up. You know, I was mad at myself for being late, and I took it out on
him. Did he tweet this in English, or is this Google Translate?
It's all translated.
Okay.
So it's just, it's the way he handled it that got him off, that got him kicked off the team. But to add more drama to all of this, you know, remember a month or so ago, Immortals was already in shambles when it comes to a roster because...
Right after the major this happened.
Right after the major. Hen1, Lucas, and KNG all wanted off the team to begin with because they ended up signing... What's his face?
They wanted to play with FNX. And as ultimately what it came down to, those three have wanted to play with FNX. They didn't, Hand and Lucas both didn't want him cut. So, you know, this is going to go that route. You know, yes. These guys don't want to be there. It's been rumored too much to just not happen at this point.
It's amazing to see what happened to the Brazilian scene. Like, there were talks that the Brazilian Counter-Strike scene was going to rival EU in the sense of between SK and Immortals to basically just put the entire country on their back and build the scene through those two teams. They're imploding on themselves.
They are. And let's kind of like square this, though. I feel like if you had KNG, Hen 1, Lucas 1, added FNX onto the team and got an in-game leader that could manage them, that could be a really dangerous team. FNX
I'm
is
not
like
saying they're not good. I'm just saying
they're ruining their reputation. Yes. SK is holding it up. SK is a class act team. Like,
do you think SK just sits in the back and looks at their Brazilian counterparts and just think, guys,
idiots? No,
are you doing?
I think SK does a good job of focusing on themselves. That's how you stay one of the best for as long as they have. Like, they are. I mean, who's had a better run than they've had other than what Fnatic prior to them? You know, they're kind of the new age Fnatic in that sense. So even Astralis and all these guys have had short-lived success. Nothing compares to what SK has done over the past 2-3 years in the scene.
You know, and there was someone, no, it was Hayes, that had the tweet, and he wrapped it up the best way that you can, really. He said that your job is whatever your employer tells you to do. And if Immortals looked at that and took that to heart, yeah, you know, show up on time. You know, don't go out partying. You know, just do your job. You know, you have an employer. Stop being idiots. I don't know. It's just...
They're young. My head. You know, the biggest problem is they're kids. Immature. Like, they're, what, 19, 20 years old.
They're immature in that sense.
I know when I was 19 or 20... Obviously, I didn't have a cool job like them, but I can tell you I definitely didn't want authority in my life. You know, I didn't want somebody telling me what to do or if I could and couldn't have fun. Now take yourself then and start giving yourself roughly 100, 200K a year and see how you would have been and how you would have handled it. Doesn't give them an excuse, but you know that's going to happen in this environment. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise for people to be immature and say stupid things.
Speak for yourself, Noosh. I had a pretty awesome job at 19. Go Kurtz, batting cages.
Especially
telling people what to do all the time.
Especially though, in esports where the players have so much power, right? Like, you get second place at a major, you think you're really going to listen to your owner, right? Like, if your owner is like, "Hey, do this," after you just got second place, do you really think in their minds they need him more than he needs them?
It's kind of like the NBA, right? Like, the players have a lot of power because the teams are so small. So the teams need these star players to be successful, to have their name on the map. Not everyone's going to be like Optic, where they do well in multiple esports environments, or Cloud9, or, you know, take a handful of them. So the players are just like NBA stars. They're all kind of divas in that sense, in my opinion. A lot of them are, not all, I shouldn't say all, but there's a lot of them that are divas. They know they have a lot of power.
And out of all this, it's weird to me because I feel like Steel and Bolts are getting the short end of all of this. I really think with Hen 1 and Lucas leaving, like, that's a mistake. I don't think, even if you're friends with KNG, like, it's not worth leaving the team to go play with him.
If there's that much turmoil, though, what do you do at this point? Like, it's been rumored for, like we said, since the major. If they're not happy...
But what's the turmoil, though?
Whatever, like, it is. I mean,
eventually,
internally, just
when,
like,
are players just going to have to buck up?
Well, this the same thing with FNX, right? Like, there was an issue. Like, we don't know what the issue is.
You can't use the excuse of, well, they're young forever. Like,
No, but you'll be able to do that for the most part in esports, right? Like, that's probably not going to change a whole lot. Maybe down the line, you start to see some 30-year-old... gamers be in esports, but let's be real, most of esports is going to consist of people 17 to 25 roughly. So these guys, they have their friends that they want to play with. I think they can build a talented roster. Is it going to be functional? Who knows? Like, who knows with that squad? Steele, I think his best option at this point is go NA, right? Like, he speaks good English. Find a way to get into an NA team and go from there. Bolts, you know, I don't think speaks English, so I don't know what, you know, that leaves him in a pretty tough spot.
He plays rank S, so I mean, I'm sure he could communicate somewhat.
Counter-Strike.
Exactly. They don't need to speak English. They just got to know the call-outs.
Yeah.
Right.
It sucks for them, though, because you look at a team, you don't see a team that, like you said, comes in second place at a major kind of just nosedive like this within a few months. Like, that's going pretty far the other way, and so disappointing because they had something.
Conflicting personalities, man. It's so weird to me. But like you said, it's very much similar to the NBA. With those smaller rosters, it's more difficult to get away from the guy you hate.
This just happened in the NBA. You look at the Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving just left a championship team to go be the guy or whatever. He left the team because he didn't want to be on that team anymore. Everybody looks at him like, dude, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? You just left a team that's been to 3 straight NBA finals. Well, he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy playing beside LeBron. Maybe they don't like playing by Steele. Not because Steele's a bad guy or not because LeBron's a bad guy, but they don't like it. It's not for them. So, you know, we'll see where they go and what ends up happening if they actually leave the team. But we know KNG is off for sure.
It's more or less if they are allowed to leave. Because if they leave, if Henny and Lucas end up leaving Immortals, then Immortals loses their major legendary status.
Yep.
So that's more so looking at, does the owner, does the organization, are they okay with that?
You're giving up a lot.
Yeah.
But to go back to our previous statement, players have a lot of power. So if they are really pushing this, that we don't want to play here, we're not going to practice, we're not going to prepare properly for games, we're going to cause drama, we're going to continue on our partying lifestyle or do whatever we're doing now that pisses you off.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to look like, but from a player's perspective, the owner doesn't have much choice. Like, what are you going to keep them and keep the other two unhappy just for one major?
From an owner's perspective, though, you're making a $1 million decision at that point, or potentially, right? Because if you make this roster move, you don't make the major after making that roster move, then there goes that possible prize pool money. So, I mean, there's a monetary reason for owners to be like, deal with it, bro.
But let's be real. With this lineup, now they got to find a new fifth, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say they keep major status and stay with this lineup. If this team's in total turmoil, okay, let's just say that it's just a disaster leading into the next major, but they get that legend status. Well, let's say they get in 14th to 16th place because they just don't give a crap about the thing. What payout is that? That's nothing for CS. This is not Dota.
Like I said, I think to me it's more of a, I don't want to see him, if it, again, don't know what's going on in closed doors. I hate the fact that the players have so much power. I'm in the minority on that one because I know, I mean, look at Sir Scoots. Like, his whole platform is don't sign any contract ever because every contract is evil. You know, you listen to Richard Lewis, that's a lot of his platform, is like, this is giving up this, this, and this. Okay, well, that's what happens with contracts, right? Yeah. You got to give and take a little bit. You give up some of your rights to get money. That's what it's all about, is to have that comfort of knowing a paycheck is on its way. Now, that doesn't always happen, because you look at Denial, they had contracts. that doesn't promise any payment on there.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not ignorant on the topic. I understand there are orgs out there that are equally as bad as the players.
It's on both ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on both ends.
It's coming, Tim. I think the Overwatch League is going to shake this up a little bit. So
I think it's going to be for a good example, because I mean, Blizzard's not going to not pay their players, right? They're not going to allow teams to not pay their players.
You're paying $20 million to get into the league, you're damn well going to pay your players $150K.
Right. You're not going to cut corners on that. Speaking of the Overwatch League, let's get into some e-news, because it's really just the Overwatch League we have to talk about today. They basically announced everything. We're just now waiting for the season to start. Today they announced, awesome, or they finalized their 3 final teams, making the league a clean 12-team league to start. I dig it.
Yeah, we're all happy about that.
I think we even said at the start 12 would be like the perfect number to start.
Yeah, everyone was like 9. Like 9 was just a weird number. Yeah, how do you do divisions, whatever. This is a perfect number. I love this move.
So you have Philadelphia, owned by Comcast.
That sucks.
Yeah, but you got their ownerships of the Philadelphia Flyers.
I just don't like Comcast, but yeah.
Dallas, which is envious, which I guess that's official now. I was under the impression they always had Dallas as the Overwatch team.
But like you mentioned in the pre-show, it looks like they dropped Austin from the name.
Right.
So it's now like envious associated with Dallas.
Dallas.
I like it. I like the color scheme. I like their logo. I'll take them in the city. Why not?
Well, we'll see what name they go with. Remember, it's not Dallas Envious.
I'm still rocking Envious.
I mean, it could just be Dallas Envy. That doesn't sound bad.
No. And it's close enough.
Yeah. Doesn't sound bad at all. And then Optic Gaming is going to Houston. And then Los Angeles. If I didn't say that. Immortals picking up Los Angeles. Immortals have been busy, man.
Yeah. They really have. Immortals
have been busy.
So they obviously are not worried about salaries of three players and they're dropping this to get in here.
No, I think KNG is the last thing on his mind. But you know what? That probably speaks volume to the owner with Noah, right? Where it's like he now owns this an official team for this Overwatch League that is structured to a T. He's not going to play those games.
And that also has like that big player's rights contract type thing, right? So he obviously knows what he's doing, man.
As far as they announced some dates, the preseason is set to start December 6th.
Perfect.
In Los Angeles at the Blizzard Arena, their new esports arena that they built. And the inaugural season will kick off Wednesday, January 10th and go into June. So a nice little six.
That's a good link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how many games that involves. I would assume.
I would assume a minimum of 24. It's a minimum of 24. You play every team twice, I would guess.
Yeah, you would assume. I would assume that's, what, a game a week?
22 games.
Yeah. So, that like I said, we'll discuss that more coming down the road, like when rosters start getting
We're about to get a lot of news coming in on this. We'll go over it.
But it's good to see that, I mean, to think it was, 2 years ago now where they announced this.
I'm slowly like climbing out of that hole. Like I'm still there a little bit, but I'm like climbing my way out to see what's going on.
You're losing your chance of going into the salt mine.
Yeah,
I am. If I was gonna do it, like I didn't do this a month ago.
You've been wanting to say you wanted to do the salt mine. But with dates
at least there, like I like the fact that they went up to 12 teams. They're definitely moving things in the right direction to like make me more of a believer. I know Blizzard obviously cares about that, so I'll go ahead and just state it on air.
And Optic Gaming, not only are they getting involved in Overwatch now, but they have applied for a North American LCS franchise as well for League of Legends. That's all I got. I don't
mention our Texas Ranger boys. At least it's kind of nice.
Yeah, so you might be wondering where the hell are they getting this money when it costs $20 million to get into Overwatch and to apply for the LCS is $13 million.
Let me let them know. Hector has been pimping out Karma and Skump from his Call of Duty team. That's where all this money has come from.
There's some groupies there.
It also helps that the co-owner of the Texas Rangers is reportedly one of their big investors.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it makes part of the move to Dallas make a little bit more sense.
It makes a lot more sense that all of a sudden they're a little bit more heavily involved in Texas.
Can you imagine they're about to drop, like, what, $35 million almost?
Mm-hmm.
Like $35 million for these two franchises.
Dude, they got to get it. I mean, there's got to be expectations, though, to get it back. You know, and if there's one owner out there that I'd have to imagine has thought about it, it's Hector. You know, it's Hex doesn't really, I feel like, I said it to Nuge before the show, that when I think of Hex, I think of like Mark Cuban type of ownership, right?
Yeah.
He owns a team, but he's also their biggest fan. You know,
he lives it. Yeah.
Yes, it's an investment to him, but he wants them to win, not because he's the owner, but because he's a fan.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
That's cool. Like I said, we mentioned it last time. He does his blogs and stuff where it's all about the team. Everything is about the team, now, what the team's doing. It's just cool.
Don't let this confuse you, because I still wish eternal losses on Optic Gaming.
That's not true, Hector. Not from all of us.
Big timing the
not
show.
From all of us,
me and Brett got you, Hector.
All right.
We'll convert him. He's a Cloud9 fan. What do you expect from somebody him?
Prove it, or I'll kill you.
Oh, damn. Right. You're off the show.
Okay.
Drop the mic. Okay. Yeah, that's a great way in the show.
But yeah, so like I said, we'll talk more about Overwatch League coming up and all that fun stuff coming on later on. But for now, that's it for episode 75. I appreciate you all for listening. If you skipped around, or if you actually listened all the way to this point, I appreciate it. Again, hit us up on Twitter at The Center Ring, our website, which is in the works of getting prettier. We're in the works of updating the website to kind of match our new theme. That's going to get there eventually. What else? We'll be back next week. Twitter at The Center Ring.
Join us on Discord.
Ah, yes. Our Discord. I will always pimp out Destiny 2. We got a little Destiny 2 group going on. So if you play that on console and what will soon be PC.
Soon.
We will be there. But until next week, I thank you all for listening to The Center Ring. And we'll see you next time.